Message as we close it out on trust God's timing. How many want God to move? Raise your hand. Say, I want God to move. Isn't it something, you know, we say that a lot, and we want God to move, but we realize this, that when God moves, things change. And let me just tell you, when God moves, Satan's not going to like it, right? It's very true. Remember last week, let's go ahead and review last week. Last week we talked about when God gets ready to move, that he's got to look for somebody who's ready to move as well. He waits for somebody, and he's looking for somebody. And many times he calls out the Moseses of the world, and the Davids, and the Elijah, and Elishas, and the old stinky fishermen, and Paul, the people who have been walking and persecuting. You know, Moses, this guy who had killed the slave driver and wouldn't have been hiding and running from Pharaoh. Remember all this, and he calls them out and says, I've got to work for you. So God's looking for someone who will go, but he's also looking for somebody who wants to be set free. You know, they've been held in bondage for 420 years. The children of Israel are being held in bondage as slaves to Pharaoh for 420 years. How many say that's a long time? That's longer than we've been in the nation, okay? They've been in bondage a long time. Finally, you got people who are tired of being slaves to the enemy. You got somebody who's willing to go. And we see where Moses is on the side of the mountain when the fire appears. We see the fire burning bright there. Moses is willing to go. The fire is burning bright in the bush. It's not burning the bush, but something happens. See, when God begins to ready to change and set us up for change, he builds a supernatural Holy Spirit fire. Someone say amen. How many know what I'm talking about when I say supernatural Holy Spirit fire? It's that burning sensation that happens in your heart, in your spirit, when you say, I don't know everything that's going on at that church. I don't know everything that's happening there. But I can tell you, there was something that was burning deep inside me. There was something burning deep in my spirit. And I know it's God calling me. I know it's God speaking to me. I know it's God leading to me. That's when the Holy Spirit's beginning to move in your heart. I don't want to come to church and just play patty cake, baker's man, and go out the door. I want the Holy Spirit to burn deep within my heart. Change me, oh God. God, move in me, oh God. God, change my community. God, change my people. God, change. Let my people go. God, let my community go. God, burn it deep. We got to let the fire of the Holy Spirit begin to burn. And when the fire of the Holy Spirit begins to burn, God's getting ready to move. We got to notice that, all right, God, you're burning inside of me. My spirit's burning. What is that? He's wanting to speak. And it says that when Moses walked to the bush, when he walked to the fire, then God speaks. See, the Holy Spirit is burning deep, and then he's looking for somebody who'll walk toward the fire and see what God wants to say. And it wasn't until he walks toward the fire that God calls out to Moses. Moses, Moses. Yo, Moses. You know, many of us are waiting for God to call out our name, but we never want to walk to the fire. Many of us are wanting God to speak, but we never want to walk to the fire. We go passively, coming in and out of church, and God, when are you going to move? God, when are you going to answer? God, when are you going to set free? But we never want the fire to burn deep within us. We never want to go to the place where God is burning away the old man I used to be. We never want to go to the place where God's burning things and changing things on the inside out. And so God speaks after Moses steps toward the fire. Then remember, once he steps toward the fire, it says he took off his shoes, signifying he was on holy ground. But remember, last week we also talked about the significance of taking off of shoes on ground in those days was more than just you're on holy ground. But also, man, when somebody was selling a piece of property, when they were giving away a piece of property, that the two people would come to make the exchange, the owner of the property would take off his right shoe, hand it to the person who was given the property to, And he would take off his left shoe and walk away holding his left shoe, leaving his right shoe with the person who was now the new owner of the property, signifying this, that I am giving up all rights to this property. And many times we want God to move, but we don't want to give up our rights. We want God to move. God, will you move? God, will you answer? God, will you come through? God, will you bring change? God, will you set free? But we don't want to give up our rights. We're a society of rights, aren't we? Everybody, I mean, we should know this more than any generation before, that everybody's fighting for their right, right? We've been fighting for our right to party since 1980. Come on now. And we also know there's a rights going on, that God's looking for people who say, God, I'm willing to give up my rights. I'm willing to give up my rights. And God, it's yours. Everything I have, I'm all in. God, it's all yours. God, I'm ready to go after you. Only one problem is that when we begin to say that, we begin to give up our rights, we begin to go after the fire of God, let me just tell you, the enemy is not going to like it. The enemy is going to show out. The enemy is going to show up. He gets mad when God speaks. So we got to understand, when God speaks, the enemy gets mad. And he's going to try to show out. Now, let's pick it back up in the story now. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 8. God is doing this wonderful promise to the children of Israel. He says, therefore, say to the people of Israel. Remember, he's telling Moses, tell them this. I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your own very own possession. I am the Lord. This is good news, right? Great news. We're in oppression. We're in slavery. Now, God calls out Moses. Moses goes, and God says, all right, Moses, go prophesy this to the people. Go tell it to the people that I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to set them free. I hear the cries. I'm claiming them. I'm bringing them into the promise. This is really good stuff. And not only that did he tell them that word. Moses is like, well, what if he doesn't believe me? What if he don't believe me? He goes, well, cast down the rod in your hand. And he cast down his shepherd's staff and his rod. And what happened? It said that it turned into a snake. And then he says, now pick it back up. I'd be like, no way, God. I don't do snakes. But Moses trusted the Lord, went to pick it back up, and it turns right back into a staff. And then he says, now put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak. He says, now pull it back out. And when he did, it's white as snow, eaten up with leprosy. He goes, now put it back in your cloak and pull it back out again. When he does, it's completely healed. He goes, now go down and take a cup and put it in the Nile and pour that water out on the ground. And when he does it, it turns into blood. He goes, you go and don't worry. I'm going to go with you. Signs and wonders are going to follow you. So here he is, then. I mean, how many know that would build your faith up, right? I mean, if God speaks to you in the fire, calls out your name in the fire, calls out all the promises he's going to do, and then he says, only that, let me show you some miraculous signs that I am with you. I would say Moses' faith had to be at an all-time high. Wouldn't we agree? We just assume that, right? And so here he goes, but knowing this, that God says, oh, but time out, time out, time out. You're going with signs and wonders. You're going with my promise. You're going with my spirit. But by the way, Pharaoh's not going to believe you, and he's not going to let them go. What? He says, Pharaoh's not going to believe you, and he's not going to want to let them go. So we realize this, that many times when God is wanting to move and God's wanting to do something, I mean, have you ever begun to pray about something? God, move in this area. God, I'm feeling led to pray and to spiritually attack something. Man, you leave here on Sunday, and man, you've been eating your spiritual Wheaties. And man, you're feeling really good. And you're like, man, this week, God's going to deliver this addiction in my life. Or God's going to answer this prayer. And God's going to do this. And boy, you walk out of here. Man,
Pastor Gene or Pastor TJ or Pastor Justin, they were exhorting, and man, they pumped me up in my spirit. God spoke to me. Let's do it. I'm ready to take on hell with a squirt gun this week. We're going to do something. And as soon as you leave, it seems like the very thing that you're trying to defeat is the very thing that's the hardest in your life. I mean, you're praying about an issue, and that issue doesn't go away. It gets worse. You're praying about an issue, and it gets harder. That temptation becomes 10 times greater than it was the week before. Or that problem seems like it's 10 times greater than it was. That relationship gets 10 times worse. I mean, it's going to happen. I can tell you this, that many times when I'm preaching a sermon, and Pastor TJ and Justin, we talk about this often, that we'll be preparing a word to bring, and then all week long you struggle with that word. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want that to come true. He wants to discourage that promise. He wants to dampen that word. And so you got to recognize that, and I always do. Now when that happens, I just kind of laugh, and I laugh it off. Like, enemy, you're just confirming in me what God's wanting to do. And so I already understand that, but many times we can let it discourage us. See, look what happens here. In Exodus chapter 5, verses 4 through 9. So now Moses takes this great word and goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go, was what God said. I mean, come on. Charleston Heston, he's given this great thundering voice. His locks, his mullet's growing out. He's looking really good. He says, Pharaoh, let my people go. And look what Pharaoh's response is. Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people? Nothing to see here. That's what he's saying. Because you're distracting them from their tasks. Get back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work. That same day, Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers. Why would he send them to the slave drivers? Because they're in charge of the people, oppressing them. They are slaves being held captive. The Pharaoh says, that's good, Moses, but your people, they belong to me. And he sends this word to the slave drivers, to the Israelite foremen. Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Now, realizing that straw was one of the main ingredients that goes inside making bricks. Without the straw, the brick becomes brittle. But the straw helps it hold together and brings stability to it. And so having that straw supplied really helped their workload. But look what he says. Now they can get their own straw. Make the people get it for themselves. And then look what he says also, but still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. So now I'm adding on to their task. We're not lowering their task, we're adding on to it. He goes, don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. And look what he says, now load them down. Everybody said, load them down. See, this is what the enemy does. God's calling me out. Hallelujah. We're feeling it, man. And all of a sudden, the enemy's like, I'm going to load you down. I'm going to load you down. You're going to forget what God's telling you. He says, load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to the lies. You see, something's happening here. When God speaks and God gives you a promise and God gets ready to move, the enemy's not going to like it. Let me just give you the very honest truth today. I know you like these great words, and sometimes they're uplifting and light, but sometimes they get pretty heavy. Let me give you a heavy word this morning. It's the honest truth. Many times it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm just going to tell you the honest truth. Many times it's going to get worse before it gets better. God, you've spoken. God, you're moving. The fire's burning. God's speaking. We get the vision. God's made the promise. We're walking in faith. And what happens? Boom. Turn up the workload. You're going to be even a greater slave. I'm going to give you more work. I'm going to teach you how to really sweat now. I mean, you think Satan's trying to show off here? You think he's trying to, what's he trying to do? He's trying to distract them from what God is really wanting to happen. He's showing out here because he understands, all right, there's something in my spirit. I know God's getting ready to do something. And so the enemy's going to show up. He's not going to like it. And many times he'll try to distract. He's going to lie to you. Don't you believe Pastor Gene. Don't you believe one of the other pastors that are speaking to you. Don't believe that you can be free. Don't believe you can walk in freedom. Don't believe that you can walk away from that bondage. Don't believe you can walk away from that addiction. Don't believe that you can have your marriage restored. Don't believe he'll lie to you and get you to doubt. And instead of getting things better, it can oftentimes get a little worse. Sometimes a lot worse. But you got to hang on. Because when you see this happening, let it know it's a sign that God's on the move. Let it know when you're feeling the heat in the kitchen that God's getting ready to bake you a cake. I'm telling you, something's up. God's getting ready to move. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's getting ready to move. Something's up when you feel the heat being turned on. See, Exodus 5, 20 and 21 says it like this. So they're turning up the heat. The enemy's turning up the heat. And now look what they do. The Egyptians now, who Moses came by faith to set free, look what they say to Moses. As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses. Dude, what are you doing? Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said to them, may the Lord judge you and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. Time out. He just ridiculed Moses. Now remember, Moses put his life on the line to return back. Because remember, he'd been running from Pharaoh for many years. Pharaoh had a price out on his head. And so he's running. He puts his own life on the line by coming back, facing his fears, facing Pharaoh. He's stepping out on faith, obeying God. And now the very people he came to set free are like, dude, Moses, Aaron, what are you doing? Why are you? Now the enemy's really going to hate us. Now the enemy's really going to be mad at us. You put a sword into their hands. You're giving them an excuse to kill us. See, people are so messed up. They believe Pharaoh was okay. These people were so brainwashed. They were so messed up. They thought living with Pharaoh was okay. All the while he kept them slaves, while he worked them night and day, while they stole their women and children and raped them, while they were taken from them, that was okay. That was, don't make Pharaoh mad, he might hurt us. How worse can it get? You're living as slaves. But see, something happens when you don't take the heart of what God's doing and you let the enemy get into your mind. It's like saying, hey, let's go out and be friends with ISIS. There's a great group of people. Don't make ISIS mad at us. I got news for you. They already hate you. They already want to kill you. You see, we would never do that, right? But this is what same kind of mindset they were having. Don't make Pharaoh mad at us. Don't make him be bad to us. See, he was keeping them as slaves. See, this is the problem right here. Look at this next slide. This is so key. They had become codependent with the enemy. They had become codependent with the enemy. They were so used to letting the enemy rule their life, they were afraid of making the enemy mad. And some of you, that's what's going to happen. When you begin to say, you know what, I'm breaking free from this in my life. I'm breaking free out of the slave thing in my life, this addiction. I'm breaking free out of this bondage. I'm breaking free out of this. Things are going to get a little uncomfortable. Things are going to happen, and you're going to face some trial times. You're going to face some heat in the kitchen. It's going to get hard at times before it gets better. But you can't say, you know what? Oh, I don't want the heat. I don't want to feel the heat. I'll just stay here and be a slave. I don't want to upset. How worse can it get? You're already getting your freedom stolen from you. You're already living in bondage to the enemy. And God is saying, I'm calling you out to claim you, redeem you. God says, I'm calling you out to set you free, to bring you into your own land, the land of the promise that I have for you. It's time for you to come out. God says, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out to be free. And some of us, we hear the call, but we're so codependent on the enemy, we don't even realize it. That we'll sleep with the enemy, we'll stay with the enemy, we'll live with the enemy, we'll eat with the enemy. We'll obey the enemy because we don't want to go through the trial of breaking free. You see things happen. See, don't forget. Don't forget. Because the scripture teaches us this very principle. It says this, that greater is he that is in me than who? He that is in the world. One more time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. One more time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so when God calls me out, when God says it's time for you to leave that bondage, when God says it's time for you to walk out into the promise I have for you, you remember this. It may get rough. It may get tough. It may get uncomfortable, but greater, 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 greater is God inside of me than the enemy that is facing me outside. Greater is he that is in me than the enemy that's in the world. Why? Because God is not going to leave you. He is not going to forsake you. He spoke to you in the fire. He called your name out. And he says, I'm going to set you free. God's timing, it will happen. But don't be shocked. Don't be moved when the enemy begins to show out. Begins to make it tough. Begins to turn on the heat on a little bit and things get uncomfortable. That's your time to stand strong and know that God's calling you. So how do you handle that? How do you handle that? God, you know what? God, you called us to do this. Look at Exodus 5, 22 and 23. This is Moses' response. Moses goes back to God. God, man, you brought me all this trouble on your own people, Lord. Why? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you've done nothing about it. I mean, doesn't that sound like us? All right, God, you want to move. I know you told me you want me to move. I step out in faith. I'm practicing the spiritual authority that Pastor Gene said to walk in. I'm claiming it, and I'm speaking to it. Instead of getting better, it's getting harder. God, when are you going to move? God, when are you going to do what you said? Let me just paraphrase. God, that was great when we was on the side of the mountain and you're speaking out of the burning bush. But now, Pharaoh don't like it. When are you going to move, God? When are you going to do your thing, God? See, our timing, we got to realize that this is just a sign. That when the heat gets turned on, it's just a sign that God's on the move. That God is doing something. He's setting you up for the breakthrough in your life. And you just got to persevere. How do you handle it? How do you handle this pressure? Look what he said in Exodus 24, verses 15. It says, Moses climbed. Everybody say climbed. Moses climbed up the mountain and the cloud covered it. Remember what I told you? That the cloud always represented the presence of the Lord. And we see it evident here, especially in the Old Testament, that the cloud would set on the tent of meeting, or the cloud would lead them by day. The cloud would set upon the mountain, and God would speak from the cloud to Moses. And when God wanted to speak to Moses many times, he called him up to the mountain. It became a symbolic place. God would say, go to the mountain. I got a word for you. Go to the mountain and seek me. You see, sometimes when we're going through the tough season, sometimes when we, with the enemy showing out, and how do I handle it? I climb the mountain. God, I've got to hear your voice. God, I got to be under your cloud. God, I got to be in your presence. God, I know all these distractions happening around me. God, I know Pharaoh's showing out. I know the enemy's doing all these things to discourage me. But God, I'm going to climb the mountain. God, I'm going to hear your voice. God, I'm going to let the fire burn even deeper. God, I'm not going to turn away, but instead, I'm going straight for the mountain. God, I'm going to hear your voice. See, God uses this to grow us. And as we're reminded now, let's go back to the very promise he makes in the very beginning of this story in chapter 6 of Exodus, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord told Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Let me paraphrase this. God was telling Moses, wait until he gets a load of me. Wait till he really sees who I am. Wait until I show him who I am. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, not only will he let them go, in fact, he will force them to leave his land. And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord your God. Now, what was he saying? He goes, I'm going to move in a way. You wait till he wait till Pharaoh gets a load of me. He don't even know who he's messing with. He thinks he's the strongest ruler of the land that I spoke into existence. Wait until he gets a load of me. Wait till he feels the force of my strong hand. He goes, then he'll let you go. But not only will he let you go, he's going to beg you to leave. He's going to beg you to leave. He's going to force. See, when God begins to move, not only will the enemy let go, but the enemy will let go and say, please leave. Leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Get away from me. It's not just a releasing that happens when God moves. But the enemy begins to beg you. No, you get away from me. You leave me alone. Why torment me? Why? Because the anointing of God's upon your life. And when you walk in that anointing, you've been hanging around the cloud. You've been going up the mountain. You've been letting God change and burn that fire within you. I'm telling you what, the enemy will beg for you to leave. He can't stand to be in God's presence. And when God makes a promise, he's going to show out to distract. And when it doesn't work, he's going to say, all right, God, you're moving. Leave me from here. Get away from me. And this has just happened. It's all well and good, isn't it? It's all well and good. God, you're going to do this. But once it gets there, the enemy shows out. The workload increases. Pharaoh says, I ain't letting no go of anybody. They're not going anywhere. Matter of fact, we're going to make them even more slaves. But look what happens here. See, he will force the enemy to make you leave. God will force the enemy to make you leave. Let's read the end of the story here in Exodus 12, 31. Now Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the middle of the night. What's he say?
Guys, can you please get out? Does he say that?
No. Look what the quotes here. Pastor TJ, how does he say it? What do you think?
Get out!
This is what is it quotes with the exclamation point. Pharaoh screaming at him, get out! Leave us! He ordered. He goes, leave my people. See, it's not Moses now asking, say, can we leave? Okay, you can leave. No. He calls for Moses, and he tells Moses, take your people and get out. Leave me. And not only does he say, tell you to leave, but what's he say? And take the rest of the Israelites with you. Let me paraphrase this if I could. He's saying, you're going to get out and leave me and take your family with you. Are you following me here today? See, when you begin to say, God, I'm going to let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in my life. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to stick to your promise. You're calling me out, and I'm not going to let the enemy distract me when you're calling me to go to a new place in you, and you're calling me to grow in you, and I'm trying to overcome things in my life, overcome addiction, overcome being a slave to bondage in my life. And I say, I'm leaving that place. And I stay focused, and I say, God, I want you more than anything. God, I want the cloud of your spirit in my life more than anything. The enemy will say, you get away from me. I can't take it any longer. You leave. Not only you leave, but take your family and go with me. See, some of you have been praying, God, when are you going to move with my children? God, when are you going to move with my family? I wish I had some dads that said, you know what? I'm going to climb the mountain. I wish I had some moms that say, I'm going to climb the mountain, and I'm not leaving until the enemy lets go of my family. Let's go of my marriage. Let's go of my children. I'm not going to leave until the enemy says, get out of here. I can't take it. Child of God, the anointing is so great in your life. Leave me alone. See, the evidence of God working is the devil's going to harass you. So if you're being harassed, congratulations. God's on the move. God's on the move, and God's doing something. He's setting you up. But remember, God's going to release you. He's going to make the enemy release you. Not only you, he's going to make him release your family. And the last sign, this is great now, the last sign we see happening. See, something had to happen, right? Something had to happen. Our musicians are coming this morning. Something had to happen. What happened? But all of a sudden, the enemy says, all right, enough of this. Go get Moses in the middle of the night and tell him to get out. I'm done. Get away from me. Release. What happened? We see after all the signs and the wonders and all the plagues that had taken place, nothing was getting Pharaoh's attention. He was ignoring it. And finally, God says, all right, because they're not heeding my word, I'm going to bring judgment upon the land. He said, Moses and Aaron, you tell your people to go sacrifice the spotless lamb, the pure lamb, and take the blood of that lamb, and I want you to put it across the doorpost of all the homes of the children of Israel, because the death angel is coming to visit this lamb this night. And the word of the Lord tells us that great judgment came upon the people. But the homes that had the blood of the spotless lamb covering it, it says the death angel passed over those homes. They were saved. You see, there's something that happens when we realize the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus in our life. It says that he was the Lamb of God, the spotless one. He who knew no sin, spotless before God, the Lamb of God, gave up his life, sacrificed his life. Why? So that you and I could receive redemption of the cross, the grace of the cross. That all who believe that the death angel would pass over their home, they would be considered redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So today, we're going to take communion in just a short moment here. Matter of fact, I want our section leaders to begin to pass them out. They're going to pass out a communion cup to you. Inside that cup is the bread tray in the very front, and behind it is your juice there. And I want you to hold on to that. Please, we'll take it together here in just a minute. We'll receive it together in a minute, and we'll take it, pray over it, and take the elements together. But I want you to realize, as you're holding those elements in your hands, what they represent. That this blood represents the Passover. If this was a miracle that God did that made the enemy, this was a miracle that God did that made the enemy say, let him go, get away from me. I have no hold on you no more. And as you take this communion today, I want you to realize you hold it. That same blood of Jesus applies to your life. Those who have accepted the work of the cross, those who have accepted what Jesus has done in your life, confess your sins to God, I'm your Lord of my life. This same work, this same blood is over your life today. This same power for the enemy to say, leave me alone. This same releasing power is being released into your life today. This same power of release of Passover is coming to your home today. And so we're going to sing this chorus through about Jesus being the most beautiful name we know. And then I'm going to come back. We're going to pray. I want you to stand on your feet. Let's sing a personal to the Lord. As we hold our communion together here today, we're reminded of the story when Jesus told his disciples. He said, this bread is symbolic of my body. My body that was beaten for you and I. Scripture says that shortly after they didn't realize it, but he was going to be arrested a few hours later. Chained up to a post. Whipped. Ripping the flesh off his back. Lash after lash, whip after whip. The claws grabbing to his flesh and being ripped from his bones. Shredded his back. Not only was it shredded, then he had to pick up his cross and carry it up. Why? Because of love. Why did he take that punishment for you and I? Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. This means this, that when we rejected him, he still loved us and died for us. When we ran from him, he still loved us and died for us. When we didn't even believe in him, he still loved us and died for us. Took our punishment of the sins to the cross. It says, by the wounds that were on his back, the stripes upon his back, we have been made whole. He was wounded for our transgressions. And by his stripes, we have been made whole. So we remember today, as we take the bread, Lord, we thank you that your body stood in as our sacrifice. Thank you for taking our punishment upon the cross, the sins of the world. We could never thank you enough. But while we were sinners, Christ, you died for us and gave your life for us. We remember today the price of our salvation. We remember the price of our freedom. And we say thank you. Let us seat together. And he said in the same manner, he says, take the cup. He said, this cup represents my blood that was shed for you and I. Just as the blood of the lamb was put over the doorposts of the families. The death angel passed over. It didn't enter those places. See, judgment didn't come to those places where the blood had been applied. So you and I today, those who accept the blood of Jesus and what the work has done, judgment passes over us. Judgment passes over us. Instead, we receive grace. We receive righteousness. We receive the goodness of God. The glory of God is being revealed in our lives. And when the blood is applied, the enemy must let go. Yes. When the blood is applied, the enemy must let go. So today, this is just not any blood. It's the spotless blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Father, we thank you for your blood of your Son, Jesus, which was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, for the sins of the world. And today we say, thank you, God. We remember the cost of our salvation. We remember the cost of grace. We remember the power of the blood. We remember the power of the Passover. And today the blood is being applied to our life. That the enemy must let go of the things that's been holding back from us today. We declare that in Jesus' name. Come on, pray that prayer. Say, enemy, you got to give up. The blood of Jesus is applied to my life. Let go of the things you've been hanging on to. And I declare freedom in my life. I declare freedom over my family. In Jesus' name. Let's drink of the cup. Now let's thank him in our own way. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Come on, make it personal. God, I thank you today for your blood. God, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your freedom in my life, God. I thank you, God, you're setting me free. Thank you, God, you gave your Son, Jesus. We remember. We remember. God, we remember. We will never forget, God, the price that was paid for our salvation. Make it personal today as we cry out to him. We sing it together. The most beautiful name he is. Come on, be exalted.
Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one. Jesus, oh, you have the power alone. You lift the lonely one.
We bless your name, Father. Now this week, we know, as we head into this week, we know Friday becomes Good Friday, remembering the cross. This week, I want you to have a somber time in your spirit when you just say, God, I'm reflecting. I remember. It should be a somber time when you remember fully the cross, everything that Jesus suffered for you and I. It should bring you to a place of tears. It should bring you to a place of your knees, remembering the price that Jesus did for you and I on the cross. That's on Friday, okay? So this week, I want you to reflect on that. Take time to meditate on that. But when you come in on Sunday, I want you to come in with a smile on your face. Sunday, I want you to come in with rejoicing in your step, because the story doesn't stop there. The story continues as we come back next Sunday, celebrating the risen Savior. That the dead things that have been put to death are called back to life, and that God's promises are being fulfilled. So this week we're going to be somber, okay? We're going to meditate, remember the cost of the cross. We're going to come in next week celebrating Easter Sunday. Come ready to celebrate, and let's see what God does. God bless you so much. We love you.
Thank you so much for being here. We'll see those who can be here Wednesday night to help us clean and set up chairs. Thank you in advance. God bless you.